Bobby Richardson was living his lifelong dream. He was an all-star second baseman for the New York Yankees. In his book, On the Names of God, Kem Hemphill recalls hearing Bobby Richardson tell his story. Bobby Richardson was an outspoken, born-again believer. And he told about a time when God so dealt with him that he came to a very significant test in his faith, that he had to be willing to surrender his lifelong dream to the Lord. What a test of his faith. Have you had such tests in your life when God asks you and tests your faith to be willing to surrender whatever is most valuable to you to him? We're in a series entitled, A Name You Can Trust. Knowing God by His Names. And we are learning about the names of God from the Old Testament and how God reveals Himself and introduces Himself to us. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 has been our theme verse for this series. Let's say it together as we have done in every part of this series. Proverbs 18, 10, lifting our voices together. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Today, we're going to meet God with a new name. It is the name Jehovah Jireh. The God who provides and proves himself in every test. When you read the word Jehovah, that is the name of the Lord. We will eventually talk about that name on its own merits. But this name of the Lord is put together with another name, the word Jireh. And in so doing, God tells us about himself. Remember, every time God reveals himself with another name, he's saying this, hello. Let me tell you about myself. And when God tells us about himself as Jehovah Jireh, he reminds us that he is a God who, even in the greatest of your tests, always provides. And he is the God who proves himself in every test. Is that a God you would like to know? Is that a God that you would like to experience? So take your Bible and turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 is a chapter where Abraham experiences the greatest test of his life. And it is the only time in the scripture where God reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh. Remember that many years prior to this, God had told Abraham and made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham, I want you to leave your home and I want you to follow me. I'll give you a land. I'll give you descendants like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. I will give you my blessing. And in fact, everyone that blesses you, I will bless. And everyone that curses you, I will curse. Oh, Abraham, I have so much that I want to do in your life. And so after that covenant was made, Abraham began to follow the Lord. And he followed year after year after year. And at different times, God would show up and say, Abraham, I'm going to do all of this for you. But the problem was that Abraham did not have any children. He and his wife, Sarah, had no children. And they waited for all of these years. And they waited for 25 years. And finally, when they were unable to have children, finally, God miraculously gave them a child. His name was Isaac. And now, God having proven himself in such a wonderful way, after such a long wait, everything in their life was fantastic. It couldn't get any better. Until you come to Genesis chapter 22, and all of a sudden, the world falls apart. Because they came, Abraham and his wife Sarah, and even Isaac came to a test of their faith, the greatest test that their faith had ever experienced in their lifetime. And it is in this time that God says, I want to tell you something about myself that you need to know in the greatest test that you'll face in your life. And I want to tell you that this is what God has for you today, to know that in your life you will face some tests that are greater than you could ever imagine in your life of faith. But whatever that great test is, God wants you to know that He is still Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides and proves Himself in every test. Now let's pray and ask God to speak to us. And oh, how we need Him to do so. So, Lord God, it is with anticipation and gratitude and with confidence that we come to You. Because You are who You are. Those things that to us are the greatest test of our life, though they certainly are fearful times, we are thankful that in them You reveal Yourself. And as we share these few minutes together, walking in time past with Abraham through the great test of his faith, we know that we will, in our mind's memory, think of the tests of faith of in the past. We will anticipate tests ahead. And we ask that You, by Your Spirit, would powerfully speak to us and reveal Yourself to us. Certainly You have done so from the pages of this book, the Bible, but we ask You to do so in the pages of the story of our lives today. So God, the Spirit, in dependence upon You, I ask for Your help today to speak. And so we pray all of this yielded to the Holy Spirit in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to notice when we come to this chapter, it begins as it does for every one of us when we go through tests in our faith. It begins with the predicament in every test. So the world changes for Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And when you read this, you can understand the predicament Abraham's in. And we're told that God tempts Abraham. Now, what's the meaning of the word tempt? The word tempt has a couple of different meanings. Sometimes temptation means the testing of our flesh. You know that struggle that we have when we know what is right to do and what would be pleasing to God and what is acceptable to Him, and yet our flesh wants to go the other way, and the struggle that we have, do you know that temptation? Sometimes that's what temptation means. There are other times when temptation means the testing of our faith. When our faith is put to the test, that is, we are challenged with what do we really believe? And this is when believing God is costly. Now, which one of the meanings of temptation is described here? Well, what is described here is the testing of our faith. It's Abraham's greatest testing of his faith. It cannot be the testing of our flesh and the struggle of our flesh. Remember, James says this, the first chapter, James 1, I think it's verse 13, verse 14. That God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, God doesn't ever tempt your flesh. How many of you know your flesh is on its own there? You've got enough problems in your own flesh. It does its own thing. So God did not initiate a temptation of the flesh. God initiated a testing of Abraham's faith. And this testing tells us about the moment of testing. What a moment. Try to imagine what Abraham thinks when he reads, or when God says to him, as we read in verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Tells us about Abraham's greatest moment of testing. And it gives us insight about the greatest moments of testing that you and I have. Because sometimes our greatest moment of testing is when God asks us to sacrifice that which He gave. Abraham, take thy son, thine only son. Lord? I've got Ishmael. But Lord, you're asking to give this son the miracle baby? We waited for 2.5 decades for this one. This is the one, Lord. You said that this is the one through whom all the promises you made to me would be fulfilled. And you're telling me that the son that you gave us, you're telling me that now you want us to sacrifice this son? I mean, Lord, do you know that you're the one that gave us this? Why would you want us to sacrifice that which you gave? See, when God asks us to sacrifice that which He gave, remember, the giver is God. He is the giver of everything. The one who has the right to give is the same God that has the right to take. He is still God and He has every right. So sometimes that test of faith is when God asks us to sacrifice that which He gave. Hey, sometimes that test of faith is when God asks us to sacrifice that which we love. Oh, Abraham, take now thy son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. God, how could you do that to us? We love you, God. We followed you. And now that this boy we love more than anything else in the world, how could you do that to me? How many of us would question God if God did this to us and asked us this question? Would you? I found over the years in walking with God, there are times when God asks you to sacrifice things that you love to Him. Is there a person that is, you love so much that you love more than God, and God may say, listen, this is not a person that you need in your life. Am I willing? There may be an issue in your life that you hold on to and you love, you will not let go, and God is dealing with you. It's time to let it go. And in your pride, you just hold on so tightly, and I love it more than anything else. Finally, God says, no, it's time for you to take responsibility and let it go. Could it be that there's a dream, there's a hope, something that is such a burden for you that God just may say, listen, you're going to have to be willing to sacrifice it. Even though you love whatever it is so dearly. I wonder if God's even dealing with you today about it. See, when God asks us to sacrifice that which we love, let's remember the love of God. Because out of love, God only gives you what is the very best for you. And then sometimes our greatest moment of testing is when God asks us to sacrifice that which we expect. Did you ever have a monkey wrench thrown into your expectations? Oh, my. Well, you think this is how it's going to be. This is how it ought to be. This is how it has to be. And then there's a monkey wrench thrown into your expectations. What was Abraham's expectation? A son? An heir? The fulfillment of God's promise? Was his expectation realistic? Absolutely. Because God said, I'm going to do this for you. His expectation was absolutely realistic. And now God says, I want you to sacrifice all of your expectations to me. When God asks you to sacrifice that which we expect, remember the wisdom and ways of God. You see, His wisdom and ways are beyond us. So whenever God asks us to make that sacrifice of even the expectations we have, it is then that we have to remember that God is a God whose wisdom is beyond what I could ever imagine. The way that He works is so different than my wisdom and my expectation. And God, I'm willing to sacrifice it all to You because of who You are. And maybe that's today, on this Sunday, is the time or the act of sacrifice of worship that God wants you to make today. Your expectations placed on an altar. Well, if you can understand and have been through, oh man, certainly not the exact circumstances of Abraham, but if you've lived a life in faith, you know exactly the predicament Abraham is in because you have been there many times yourself when God speaks to you about a willingness to lay everything on the altar. What a predicament. Well, then God tells us something else. God reminds us that, and you will find this to be true, that in every test of faith, as it was in Abraham, there's this predicament of every test. But then in each test, there's a process that God takes you through in each of these tests. In fact, every time God speaks, God calls you to obedience. Because your faith requires obedience. Every test of faith requires obedience. And there are three tests of obedience that you will walk through in your process of testing in your faith, of your faith. Here's the first step that Abraham takes. You read about it in verse 3, and that is immediate obedience in spite of confusion. Immediate obedience in spite of confusion. So we read, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son and Claver split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. I'm thinking as I read this, I'm thinking about splitting wood. How many of you think, y'all split wood? Have you split wood? When we, one of our homes we lived in had a Ben Franklin pot-bellied stove. And so I was thinking about splitting wood. I'm thinking about an axe and a maul and a sledgehammer and a wedge. I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking of Abraham splitting wood. And I do know this, when I used to have to split wood, when you're splitting wood, there's a lot of time to think. I'm thinking about Abraham early in the morning. He knows what's ahead. He's getting everything packed for a journey. He's getting the wood ready, and as he's splitting wood, he's thinking, this wood that I'm splitting is the very wood on which I will place my son, where he will be burned in the sacrifice to my God. Am I going to be willing to obey God today? It's been said that delayed obedience is immediate disobedience. And today, God is speaking to you. And while God is speaking, my friend, do you know that this test of your faith begins right now? Immediate obedience in spite of confusion. I'm thinking for Abraham and what it must have been like with all the questions swirling in his mind. Why would you do this, God? And God, what's it going to be like? And he's trying to picture the horrible scene, knowing he's just a few days' journey away from the mountains of Moriah. But yet, in spite of the confusion, he said, "Today, God, I'm going to obey you today." Immediate obedience in spite of confusion. You take that first step. After you take the first step, are you ready for the second step? Because the second step in the obedience process is this, because every test brings you to continued obedience in spite of concerns for the consequences. Continued obedience in spite of concerns for the consequences. So you look at your Bible, look at verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning. He saddled his donkey, took the two young men with him and Isaac, his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering. He rose up and went unto the place which God told him. Verse 4 reminds us, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, I want you to imagine this. Can you picture it with me? He's up early. He's splitting wood. He's getting everything ready. He bundles up the wood. He throws it on the back of the donkey. All the provisions that are needed. He knows that the mountains of Moriah are going to be about 3 days away. And he starts out on this day and all day. What a long day. Can you imagine it? Knowing that if he continues on this journey, it's going to end with the death of his son by his own hand. What a long day. The next morning, he's up with the servants and with Isaac. And the next morning, he continues on the journey all day. Every step, he's closer and closer to the eventual consequences. He knows the consequences are coming. They camp for the night. Now it's the next morning and he's up. And they're walking and he knows he's getting closer and closer. And finally, far off on the horizon, he sees the mountains of Moriah. Can you picture in your mind mountains off in the horizon? And he realizes how close he is, that on this day, he will have to sacrifice his son. All the way along, he could have turned back and said, "No, sir, God, I am not going to sacrifice my son." He started well. But the longer he went, the consequences become loom larger in his mind. And he has to be willing to believe God and keep following God day after day, each step, regardless of the consequences. Do you realize in your life, saying yes to the Lord is one thing, but if you want to know the power and blessing of God in those tests of faith, it is continuing to walk with God, whatever the consequence. And finally, they arrive at the mountains of Moriah. And Abraham, you read in your Bible in verse 5, said to his young men, "Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship and come again to you." And he arrives at this place, and now it is time for him to take the final step in the process of this testing of his faith. The final step is complete obedience in spite of the cost. Because the real test of our faith is when it costs us. We've walked with Abraham now for 3 days. Let's finish out the day's journey. So in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it on his son Isaac. I'm picturing in my mind two bundles of split wood tied up and slung over the back of a donkey. And he takes off the wood and he puts it around the neck of his son, or maybe over the shoulder. Here, son, you carry this. He took the fire in his hand. It might have been a torch. It could have been a container that would have coals that would light the fire for the sacrifice. He takes a knife, and they went, both of them together, and they're walking from the place where the servants are left in the camp, and they're walking their way up into the mountains, and Isaac looks around all this going on, and he says to Abraham, verse 7, "My father," he said, "here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Well, how would you answer that? He knew that worship required offerings and sacrifice. Oh, little did he know that he would be the sacrifice. And Abraham says to him, verse 8, "Oh, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built there an altar. And I can picture it, can't you? He's picking up stones, building one, putting one on top of the other, making it wide enough, bring it to a height that's reasonable, trying to get it as smooth as he can. You can picture him building it stone by stone, and he's thinking, it's just a matter of moments until he has to make this great sacrifice. "Isaac, would you hand me the wood?" Isaac gives Dad the wood, and he takes the wood, and now he stacks it on the altar just perfectly. Imagine what it would be like then, because God says that he binds his son, and imagine that he takes maybe the tether that had held together the firewood, and he wraps the feet, and he wraps the hands. Imagine what it would be. Could you picture what it must be like to pick up your son? To lay him on the wood. Can you picture it? The Bible says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son.'" How many of you think he never was so happy to hear the voice of God in his life right there? Whew. The thing that is more valuable, Abraham, than anything else in your life, you are willing to sacrifice in worship to me. See, every test of faith brings you to a point where you have to be willing to sacrifice everything, that which you love the most, to the Lord. The process of that testing, and For you, it may be that that's exactly where you are in your life. God is bringing you to a test. And along the way, it may be immediate obedience. It will involve continued obedience. It will be ultimately complete obedience. This is the process that God takes you through in every test. But did you know that there is proof in every test? God tells us about the proof in every test. What does every test prove? Let me tell you what every test that comes into your life proves. Are you ready for it? This is what every test proves. Every test proves what you believe about God.
Amen.
You didn't withhold thy son, thine only son. And so we read this in our Bibles. Keep reading if you would. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Who would have thought a substitute, a ram out of, I wouldn't have seen that coming. But God provided a substitute. Do you know what Abraham was thinking when he offered his son on that altar that day? He wasn't thinking a substitute. Oh, that's something that God did. He had no idea God was going to do that. But we are told in the New Testament what Abraham was thinking. Take your Bible, keep your place there in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, where this great hall of faith of heroes is listed, this event in Genesis 22 tells us something that we would not know unless God the Holy Spirit revealed it to us in this chapter. Verse 17 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And here's what he's thinking. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Do you know what he's thinking? Because see, to Abraham, he would never have thought of a sacrifice, another sacrifice, a substitute. What Abraham was thinking was that he would be willing to believe God and kill his son, and that God would resurrect him from the dead. So that whenever he told in verse 5 of this chapter, he told the servants, you all stay here, we're going to go and worship and we'll come back here. What faith! What faith? You see, every time you go through a test of faith, it reveals what you believe about God. So what do you really believe about God? Look back in your life and look back at those times of testing. What does it say, how you responded in those testing times about what you really believe about God? And my dear friend, and you're in the midst of a test right now, what does your response say about what you really believe about God? I'm not saying what you say with your mouth. That's easy. What does your response say about what you really believe about God? There's something else God tells us about here. It tells about your tests. And it tells us about, God tells us about the provision in every test. Did you know that in every test, God gives provision to help you? Beyond your help, beyond your power, your capacity and grace, God gives provision in every test. And so here is Abraham. And what happens in Genesis chapter 22? God provides a substitute and he calls the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. You see, this is the place that God introduced himself to Abraham. Abraham, let me tell you about myself. I am God, the Lord, but I am the Lord that provides every need and proves myself in every test. Jehovah Jireh is the name of the place. And it is the name of the God who met Abraham in that place and revealed himself. The name's meaning is the God who sees. Literally, it means that God sees you. He sees you through. And he sees to it to provide and prove himself in the test of your faith. Did you know that God places in your life's journey many places and times that you could look back on your journey and you can say, this is a Jehovah Jireh place for me? You knew what it was to take God at his word in those financial areas of your life. And you say, wow, I didn't think we could make it. I didn't think it was even possible, but God in his grace proved himself. And you look back at those times, those key points, and you say, Jehovah Jireh, God provides and sees me through every test. Proved himself. You look back at other times in your life and there are challenges that you've had in your own faith and you've taken God at his word. And that, as you look back, you say, this is a time when God proved himself and met every need. You look all through your life and you experience God as Jehovah Jireh. You walk with him. These moments of testing in your life become moments of victory and joy. You know, in all of your tests of faith, God provides and proves himself by meeting another need. And here's a ram in a thicket. We needed a sacrifice to worship it. Look what God did. A ram in a thicket caught by. What are the chances except that God did it? You know, in your life, if you learn to live day by day asking God to help you with needs, you see, there's a reason Jesus taught us to pray to these words. Give us this day our daily bread. Live every day saying, God, I need you to help me in some way today. Amen. Because every day then you get a chance to watch God give you help and provide every need and help you in those tests every day. Provides another opportunity in need. It provides a new opportunity of seeing God reveal himself and another record of his reality. You're tested in your faith. And just as you go through those tests and you go look back and you say, look what God did. So that God isn't just somebody I read about in the Bible or I sing God bless America and hope he's up there somewhere. God is a God that is real in my life. You must have tests in your faith for God to be real to you. And every test provides a new opportunity of blessing. Look in your Bible at Genesis 22. Because the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham, verse 15, out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. And he affirms again that covenant that he made all the way back in the 12th chapter of Genesis and a number of times over the years. He affirms again. He said, listen, I want you to know, I've already promised my blessing, but because you're willing to sacrifice everything and trust me in the greatest test of your life, in blessing, I will bless thee. I'm going to multiply your blessing beyond what you could ever imagine, because you're willing to trust me in the test of my life, in your life. I wonder if God is even speaking to you. Are you willing to trust him with the most valuable of all your valuables? You know, there's something else that God tells us about in this chapter. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. But I don't want you to miss what God is doing here. I want you to notice something that's wonderful, and that is the providential hand of God in every test. The providential hand of God in every test. So we read about, beginning in verse 24, what Abraham does after this great test of his faith. Not verse 24, verse 20 through verse 24. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children of thy brother Nahor. It's baby news. And from all the way back in Mesopotamia, where Abraham comes from, all his family's still back there. He gets some baby news. Tells all about the children that his brother has. In fact, we read about them. Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother. How many of you find it be easy to get those names mixed up? Huz and Buz. Because how many of you know what it is, when you call out to your kids, you get the wrong name sometimes? It's happened to you, right? Well, if your name was Huz and Buzz, those would be mixed up a lot. And then there's Kemuel, that's the father of Aram, and Kesed, and Hazo, and Phildash, and Jiplaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abram's brother, and his concubine, was Rumah. She also bare Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. Now, I say, why in the world would God put baby news in the middle of his Bible? I'll tell you why. Because while God had Abraham going through this great test of faith, whether he would be willing to sacrifice this promised heir, while all that was going on, what Abraham didn't know is far, far away, God was working to fulfill Abraham's promise, but he couldn't see it. Because Abraham's son Isaac would need a wife. And God had chosen a wife for him. Her name was Rebekah. All the way, far, far away, while Abraham is going through this test of his faith, God was working behind the scenes. You see, God, while we see God working maybe in just one or two things, God's doing a million things. And I guess what I'm going to tell you is this. When you're going through your test of faith, I'm going to tell you, you never know what God is up to. Because God's always up to something. He is always up to something. And so when you don't know what he's up to, just believe him that he is always up to something. And in the midst of your test, don't lose faith. The providential hand of God is working. Well, Bobby Richardson, even though he was at the height of his career and was living his dream, God so dealt with him about being willing to quit on his dream to play for the Yankees. So one night in a hotel room, the struggle of his heart was so intense. He is there and he pulls out of his duffel bag his glove, and he puts his glove on the bed, and he kneels beside the bedside and he wrestles with God. At that point, he said, God, if you're willing, if you want me to give up my dream I'll be willing to quit baseball. Listen to the words as Ken Hemphill describes it. He says that he was willing to give up baseball if that was what was required to find the fulfillment in his life. He describes this one night in a hotel room. He crawled down beside the bed on his knees and took his baseball glove from the duffel bag. In deep agony of his soul, he laid the glove on the bed and poured out his heart before God. Once he had placed it before the Lord in total surrender, he found that he could trust God to provide for every need. For Bobby Richardson, he continued on, had a very successful career as a baseball player, something far more important, a God-honoring life. But he went through a deep test of his faith. And you know what he found? He found what Abraham found in the test of his faith and what you can find in the great test of your faith, that God is still Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides and proves himself in every test. Well, where did all of this take place? Did you remember where it was? All this took place in the mountains of Moriah. Did you know there's another incredible event that took place on the mountains of Moriah, another great sacrifice? The mountains of Moriah are the range of mountains that were the mountains where Jerusalem is found. And on a day many, many years from this day, God Almighty, who came to us, sent his son, his only son whom he loved, to a cross on those very mountains. He gives himself as a sacrifice. But he didn't need this a substitute. He was the substitute. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And as the substitute who on those Moriah mountains gave himself willingly, arms outstretched, his blood flowing as he's crucified, that one still reaches out to you. He is the God who provides. I love the way our Bible translates it. God will provide himself a lamb. Indeed, God did provide himself a lamb. And my friend, if you do not know this one by personal faith, Jesus Christ, he has provided himself for you. Will you receive him today? Would you stand with me, please? Our heads are bowed.